Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the Weekend Wrap with Iceman John Scully and a little straight talk with Mr. Ronnie Shields. But before we get the show started, we do have a sad note in the world of boxing. One of boxing's greats passed away at the age of 77, and that was Mr. Bob Foster. So we will start our show out by giving Mr. Foster, the legendary moment of silence. With that being said, I'll now get the Iceman in, and we'll be talking to the Iceman and, of course, Ronnie, both about, their greatest memories of Mr. Bob Foster. In my eyes, I cite one of the greatest light heavyweight champions in the game. So just waiting for Mr. Scully, and we'll get this show on the road. Let's see. Maybe it's a Blog Talk thing. Let's try his number again. Thank you, John's Arizona fan. It's probably coming in from the gym or on the road. I believe we have
0221597 is not available. At the tone, please record your message.
Where is the Iceman? Like I said, Scully always has a lot of irons in the fire. Probably got caught up in at the light on his way home from something. But, hey, let's see. Yeah. We'll get him in as soon as we can here. Maybe he's on charge. Let's see if we got him yet.
2159.
Still no John. Let's send him a quick text message here, see what's up. Well, we seem to have a little trouble getting in touch with Mr. Scully tonight, so I'm going to kind of do a little rant here until I can find him or he texts me back. But it's kind of remarkable to me how everyone responded to the Canelo-Cotto fight. I thought it was a very good fight. I appreciated the action from both men. But then on the other hand, when you have a man that, he's not that popular, and he doesn't engage, which is not his forte. I'm talking about Mr. Guillermo Rigondeaux. Yes, the fight was boring. Yes, you know, we did put an opponent in front of him, you know, that he should have been able to put away. You know, but this is the game of boxing. You know, it was, to me, it was one of those cases where, you know, I'm not trying to use the term offensively, but it was one fighter was scared and the other was glad of it. We all know that, you know, even though this was supposedly a stage for Guillermo to, you know, win over the fans, let's say, it's very evident that he didn't do it. But let's go on the other hand here. You know, you had a pay-per-view that, you know, Canelo easily won. I mean, there's no question, no controversy, none of that. But even though Canelo is winning, is Canelo a viable pay-per-view star? Other than the attraction of the Latino community, has Canelo made himself, has he put himself in the position to be that crossover guy? You know, kind of like Floyd. You watch him, whether, you know, some people watch him because they want him to lose, some people watch him because they want him to win. Has Canelo got to that point where he's an exciting enough fighter where people, you know, have adopted him as the next golden boy? You know, where no matter who the opponent is, it'll put butts in seats. I don't really think that he established that with this fight with Cotto. Now, you know, the card itself was, I mean, it had its high points and low points. I mean, you know, Ronnie Rios was and Vargas both, you know, provided the fireworks. But, you know, when it comes to Canelo and it comes to Rigondeaux, I think they both came up a little short. Does anybody have a difference of opinion here? Let's try and see if we can get Scully again. Let's contemplate that, and I shall be right back. All right, still not being able to get in touch with Scully. But let's talk about some of the other action this weekend. We had some fights over in England, and I'm not really sure what type of impact it'll make over here. Abraham wins a split decision over Martin Murray, and he retains his WBO 168-pound title. You know, we've seen a couple other English fighters come over here and have great success. You know, speaking of Kell Brook, you know, maybe it's time for Arthur Aiman to bring his fight game back over here across the pond. He does have a very impressive resume. A lot of, you know, most of it is, like I said, on English soil. So, you know, it would be nice, but let's, you know, let Arthur join the rest of his countrymen over here. You know, he's rated number one by Ring Magazine. So, you know, let's, and not only that, but, you know, Abram is very crowd friendly. Of course, you know, the there's the fact that Abram is 35 years old. It's a question, and once again, it would be nice to see him, come across from Germany, and see what impact he'd make upon this boxing scene, and not only that, one thing about it, it's not like Abram is really needs the money. He's practically a German national hero, so it's maybe to see a 35-year-old German come over here in the twilight of his career, he could possibly make some great paydays, but I don't see it happening. I think he'll stay over in Germany where he's very comfortable. I don't want to say home cooking, but let's say he does get the benefit of the doubt. Another great fight this weekend. Has fight of the year written all over it. And if you missed this fight in particular, it was definitely the highlight of the pay-per-view. That was Francisco Vargas and the great fight that he had with the Japanese champion. Now, I know I'm going to definitely mess his name up here, but I'm going to do my best. Takashi Miura. And Vargas stopped Miura in round 9, but Vargas himself was also knocked down. I believe it was in the third round. Was it the third round? The fourth round. Vargas went down in the fourth and then knocked Miura out in the TKO in the ninth. So this was a very good fight from start to finish. The Japanese champion came out, tried to establish his dominance, like I said, knocking Vargas down. So let's see if we can get Scully on here. Let's try him one more time. See, my man Dave is on the line here listening tonight. Hey, man, big shout-outs to you. Might ask you a question here about this Cotto fight in a minute and what you thought about it. But let's see if we can get Scully right now. Very unusual. I can't get my man Scully in tonight. I really wanted to talk to him about the fight cards last weekend, about some of the things coming up. But I'm going to get Ronnie in here in about 5 minutes. Kind of bear with me for a minute here, everyone, and we'll be getting a little straight talk with Ronnie Shields about 5 minutes earlier than usual. But we'll try Scully one more time, and I'm going to throw something on here right quick. Let's see if we can find something from Jay-Z or somebody.
I got two freaks in it. half. I come through like you have. Two rubbers and two bad bitches, I'm soaking them. That's too damn. Too know me and too understand. Just know that I ain't too stressed. Two models to go bow down. I thank God I'm too blessed. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. But I'm just young and motivated. My motive is win. I get under skin. So swaggy, aggy, much maggie, magnetic. Guess I get them with the grin. Me and I, signing up, trying to get that Rainiac. Mad model chicks, feeding sick, turning to maniacs. Choke and see how they react. They cut the fool. Four rocos and four locos for diving in the pool. Trying to get you wet, wetter than the water slide. Daddy, don't trick. The dick just do the slip and slide. You just get a grip and glide right off of the top. Take a shot, make it hot. Rather you right here than not, I'm at the pool.
Mr. Scully, but I'm going to bring my guy in here, Mr. David.
I need
Dave, what's going
on? What's going on, man? Peace, man. I'm on the road, man. Can you hear me good or no?
Hello?
Yeah.
I can't. I would rather see Canelo start fighting some of the young and up-and-coming, you know? And that 16 pounds is a lot of weight for Cotto, man.
Look at the matchup.
I mean, you got Danny Garcia and all of them. They got their O. I mean, everybody trying to keep their O, man. You know, I don't care. It ain't too many people that really got them. I mean, Flair ain't trying to mess that up. You know, where everybody need an O just to make money, you know?
Yeah, I hear.
Hey, Dave.
Thank you so much. Move on now, and we're going to have a little straight talk with Mr. Ronnie Shields. Yes, sir. Hello, Ronnie. How are we doing tonight, my man?
Doing great.
Oh, hey. Glad to hear you. Glad to hear your voice, my man, as always. We started out the program with a moment of silence for a great champion, Mr. Bob Foster. Ronnie, that's, you know, part of your era and, you know, your history of boxing. Do you have any memories of Mr. Foster?
Well, you know, I just remember seeing him fight a lot. You know, he was one of the best light heavyweights ever. And he's one of those guys that he wasn't afraid to fight anybody, you know. And so we cleaned out the light heavyweight division. Of course, he moved up to heavyweight. He didn't fare so well at the heavyweight. It was just too small. But he was just a good fighter, man. And I think everybody respected him. And he was a great champion.
Yeah. Someone that's not quite reached the status, but who reminds me of, you know, his skill and dedication to the game. If I was going to pick a modern-day fighter, I would kind of lean a little bit towards Steve Cunningham. Ronnie, what are your thoughts on the parallel of those two?
Yeah, I think Steve Cunningham, I would say that. I say, you know, Steve Cunningham's career probably goes something like, you know, Bob Foster's dead. You know, Steve was always up and down in weight, you know, as far as wanting to fight the best fighter. And that's what it's all about. It wasn't about, you know, weight problems or anything. Just wanting to fight the best guys. And, you know, and you still got to always remember that boxing is a business. And, you know, of course, the money was always better at heavyweight. So, you know, so, but you want to test your skills against everybody. And that's what I think both guys always tried to do.
Yeah, Bob Foster was one of those guys, whenever you heard he was fighting, you know, you always wanted to get in front of the TV set because you knew he was going to give it his all. And, you know, even though he was undersized, you know, he always brought a tremendous amount of heart into the ring. Ronnie, you know, We finally had the big fight, Canelo and Cotto. Had a pretty decent undercard, a couple good fights on there. Did you happen to catch any of the Fernando Vargas fight? And what did you think of Mr. Vargas?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. You know, he's a good fighter. You know, he got dropped early, but you know, I think he started off strong, and then he slacked up a little bit. But then, you know, when he got dropped, I think they really woke him up, to tell you the truth. And he came back, and he had a great stoppage, and it was good for him. I was glad to see him win the championship for the world.
Yeah, I think the Vargas fight and the Rios fight were actually the two highlights of that card. What were your thoughts on that, Ronnie?
Well, yeah, because I think both of those fights was really exciting. You know, they were definitely more exciting than the main event. That's for sure. And, you know, but I think more people came away talking about the Vargas fight rather than any other fight, you know, last night.
Your thoughts on it possibly, you know, I mean, I know it's still early, you know, as far as the voting is concerned, but fight of the year?
Well, I think it was an exciting fight, but I don't think it was as exciting as Aaron Rodriguez and Michael Seals. I think that's probably the fight of the year there.
Yes. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But Ronnie, you know, you spoke a little bit about the main event and how it really wasn't that exciting. But, you know, we got the decision that everyone expected and I should say wanted. But, Ronnie, there was a lot of bad publicity about Mr. Guillermo Rigondeaux. And Ronnie, to me, you know, this is getting a little, you know, I mean, it's almost taking on a Floyd-like quality. I mean, you know, this is Rigondeaux. This is the way he fights. And, you know, why are we expecting more? I mean, we know that, you know, he's not, you know, an exciting fighter, but he is a good fighter. He's a quality technician, and he's a champion. So, Ronnie, why does Rigondeaux have so much bad publicity when the only thing he's being is the boxer that he's always been?
Well, you know, it's the same with Arislan de Lara. I think people don't understand that this is the way these guys were taught to fight. You know, they weren't taught to fight no other way. And, you know, and that's the way nobody's going to come in and change that. They got their mindset. This is who we are, so you go accept it or not. But I think also with Rigondeaux and with a lot of the Cuban fighters, they fight up to the level of their competition. If a guy comes in, they don't know how to cut the ring off, don't know how to make these guys fight, then these guys just sit there and outpoint him. And that's exactly what Rigo did. He did his job. That's his job, you know, to do what he did. And it's not his fault that the other fighter didn't know how to make him engage. You know, he's a great fighter, Rigondeaux is. He's a great fighter. And he just fights to the level of his competition. So put him in harder, he fights harder. That's the way it works.
Now, you know, Ronnie, what you said makes a lot of sense. And, I mean, you know, he is who he is. But considering, you know, what we saw last night, couldn't we say the same thing about Canelo?
Yes. I mean, he is. He's the same way. He fights to the level of his competition. But, you know, I mean, that's the way I expected him to fight. I didn't expect him to fight any better than they always do. I mean, that's who he is. You know, I think the pressure was more on Cotto, for Cotto to, you know, to do more. And, you know, and what I mean by do more is I think Cotto, he tried for the first two rounds to just sit on the outside and box him. But, you know, I think Cotto got old, really, really old, about the fourth or fifth round, you know, because then the leg movement wasn't there anymore. He tried the side-to-side stuff. He was moving good, but then he couldn't punch. At the beginning, he was punching and moving good. First two rounds, I thought, was really close. And then after that, as you saw in the fight, once the fight got into after, like, the seventh, eighth round, Freddie started telling him, well, you got to back him up now, you know. And when he said that, that means Cotto's leg was gone. He couldn't punch and move at the same time anymore. So what you have to do, you have to sit down and go forward. He tried that, but nothing he did had any effect on it. So Canelo wasn't affected at all, and he just overpowered him.
You know, Oscar made a big deal about Cotto not wanting to pay that extra $1,000 to the WBC. But, you know, Cotto made a great point when he spoke about it. And, you know, you don't usually hear Cotto saying too many things about anyone. Usually Cotto's a very respectful guy, you know, says as little as possible, especially anything negative. You know, but Cotto, you know, his statement was, you know, well, you know, ask Oscar, would he have given up $1.1 million of his purse? And, Ryan, you know, that brings me back to the things that we always talk about, the sanctioning fees. Ronnie, after paying $800,000 to Triple G to step aside, was it fair for the WBC to expect Cotto to give him another $300,000?
Well, I actually, you know, that's their rules. You know, that's what their rules. Everybody, you know, when you win the title, you know what the rules are before you win it. You know you have to pay step-aside money. You know you have to do this. And then you know you have to pay your sanctioning fee. Here's what the problem becomes, is that Cotto realized one thing, not just, you know, he did this in order just to get the fight, to say, okay, I'll pay him $800,000. And I think in the back of his mind, he knew he wasn't going to pay that because he wasn't going to ever fight Triple G. I think everybody in boxing knew that fight was never going to happen. So what he did was he said, you know what, why should I pay him $800,000? Just help us out. The contracts are already signed now. I'm not fighting for no belt, especially for the middleweight belt anyway. And why should I get him $300,000 of my money when I'm not going to even fight Triple G for that belt no more anyway? So they could take the belt. They could do whatever they want with it. And look, at his age, and, you know, who knows? He may not ever fight again. And I think that was probably in the back of his mind also. Hey, if I lose, then I'm done anyway. So why should I give away $1.1 million when I don't have to? And you know what? I don't blame him. I wouldn't give it away. I wouldn't give him nothing anyway. I wouldn't do it either.
You know, hey, it makes perfect sense to me. I mean, you know, hey, but anyway, Ronnie, you know, did this performance really do anything for Canelo? I mean, you know, one of the things that we've always said is that Canelo is not a pay-per-view star. I mean, even though he won this fight, he didn't win it in a convincing in a really convincing fashion, at least not to me. Did he make himself become elite, or is he still just, you know, a pay-per-view fighter that's looking for a viable opponent?
Yeah, you know, look, I think Canelo's a pay-per-view fighter. But, you know, at the same time, you know, if he was to go up against a guy like Triple G, he's still going to be the B-side fighter like he was against Canelo. I mean, against Cotto, you know, the same way he was against Mayweather. He was a B-side fighter. The only time he was on pay-per-view as A-side was when he fought Arislande Lau. So, but I think we have to understand the fact that, you know, I think Canelo is still a young guy, and he's still not known throughout the world. You know, he's known out in Mexico and the United States. But, you know, let's see what the numbers did. You know, if the numbers was favorable, then I would say, hey, it's a possibility that the kid can become a pay-per-view star. But if the numbers wasn't good, then they still have work to do.
Who do you possibly see next for Canelo? You mentioned a couple of names there. Do you think, you know, just throwing it out there, what about Keith Thurman?
Never. I don't see it happening because of, you know, I don't think HBO would want him to fight Keith Thurman. Well, I mean, Keith Thurman, he can't fight Keith Thurman anyway. because of the weight. Keith Thurman is not going to go up to, you know, to junior middleweight to fight or 155 or whatever weight Canelo wants to fight at to fight him. I don't see that happening. I really don't see anybody, you know, the only person that I could see him fighting, really, you know, if Floyd decided to come out and come out of time and fight him again, which I doubt. But, you know, I mean, I don't know who else he can fight. You know, he don't want to fight Triple G. He said, he says it in the media, but once he go home and think about it, you know, he's going to want to fight at a catchweight. And Triple G says he's not going to fight at a catchweight. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens because really and truly, who is Triple G going to fight? You know, these guys, they both need an opponent. So, you know, so I think they'll work something out, probably maybe 158, 159. Something like that, you know. But I think, as you saw last night, you know, the thing about these guys, they always claim, oh, I'm not a middleweight. But you came in about 175 last night, you know, but you're not a middleweight, you know. So go figure. I mean, I don't know.
It's one of those things that's very puzzling. You know, like you said, everybody claims they're not a middleweight. Ronnie, I don't understand it. I mean, if you're a fighter, aren't you, you know, is it your goal to fight the best and you know, to beat the guy that has the belt? Or has philosophy changed in boxing over these last few years and the fans just aren't aware of it?
Well, no. I mean, boxing is still the same. I mean, it is what it is, and, you know, just, you know, guys want to come in and step in, and I always want to do different things at different times and want to make it look like things change, but boxing is not going to ever change, you know. The thing about it is you can't change the sport. It's the people in the sport that do the changing.
That's a very good statement there, Ronnie. You know, because we always, you know, we always talk about the evolution of the sport, but we kind of never think of it, I guess, in that particular manner. But Ronnie, what do we have to do to get more parity in boxing? You know, instead of it being more of a political arena, which it seems to have turned into.
Well, you know, you're not going to get rid of the politics in the sport. That's going to always be there. As long as you got fighters and as long as you got promoters and executives for television and stuff like that, it's going to always be political. You know, that's going to always be inside the sport. You're not going to change that. So, you know, the only way you can change that is fighters step up and stand up for themselves. But that's not going to happen because, you know, there's always somebody to talk a fighter down. You know, I think if fighters, you know, stick together on certain things, you know, then, you know, fighters can change the sport because they are the sport. But, you know, but as long as you got other people paying for this, paying for that, then, you know, fighters not going to think for themselves. They're going to let these other guys think for them. So politics is going to definitely always be in the sport of boxing.
I don't know whether that's a sad statement or an indictment. But I guess the only thing we can do right now is sit back and wonder and think about it. Ronnie, what do you see as the next big fight, you know, that's going to be or that you think will be exciting for two fans? Because, I mean, it just seems right now, you know, with all the flack that was just given to Mr. Rigondeaux, Ronnie, what are you expecting Wednesday? When Iris Larry Londa fights.
Well, you know, I'm expecting a great fight. You know, the thing about it is, you know, the guy we're fighting, Jan Zevic, he's the guy that pushes you. He makes you fight. So, you know, so Lara, you know, and this is what we work on in the gym. This is why we train so hard and we practice every day, because we know what this guy is going to try to do, try to push us into a corner, and he's going to try to push us to fight and go toe-to-toe with him. You know, but, you know, Lara is a boxer, and at certain points, certain points in the fight, you're going to see he's going to have to defend himself. And, you know, it's not going to be like, you know, like this guy is going to push. He's going to push us hard. So, you know, so our plan, you know, is to just outwork this guy. Just, you know, to do the thing that we need to do to win. And, you know, of course, this guy is going to want us to stand there and go toe-to-toe with him. But at some point, we may have to. You know, if he's that good to push us into a corner and to make us fight, then you know what? That's what we have to do.
Ronnie, what makes Irislandi special to you?
I think what makes Irislandi special is just his determination. You know, this kid has more determination than a lot of fighters. And I think it's partly due to him, you know, being from Cuba, coming to the United States, and, you know, he calls himself the American dream, you know, because that is his dream, was to come here, take care of his family, and be free and feel free like, you know, like everybody else in the world, you know, in the United States, not the world, in the United States is. So I think that he, you know, he's special because he knows how to handle himself inside of that ring. You know, inside of the ring, he's, you know, that's his office, you know, and he feels he has the home court advantage inside of that ring. And he feels if you invade his territory, then he has to do something to get you out of his territory.
Ronnie, your stable is really interesting. You have quite a conglomeration of young men, some being from the United States, but you have young men like Mr. Irislandi from Cuba. You have another young man, he's from Australia. You now have a heavyweight that you're working with that's from Poland. Ronnie, how do you transcend all these borders?
Well, you know, the thing about it is, man, you know, the most important thing is, I think that we're all human beings. And when you're a human being, you know, we all have the same focus, the same drive. And so, you know, we all want to go in the same place, to the same place. We all want to be successful. So it's really not hard, you know. I do, man. I mean, I have a lot of different cultures that I work with, you know. Again, you know, Irislandi Law from Cuba, Arthur Spilker from Poland, Steve Levy from Australia. I got a kid named Steve Woodall from England. Another kid, he's an amateur kid that I work with. He's Irish and Poland and Polish. And, you know, I have a kid from Nicaragua. You know, I mean, they're from all over. But everybody has the same goal. So what makes it different? Nothing. You know, we're all the same.
Most definitely. And I mean, you know, it's a nice premise, but everybody can't put it into practice. And Ronnie, you're one of those guys. That's why I call our segment Straight Talk, because, you know, I mean, that's who you are. But it is very interesting, you know, that you can transcend all these different cultures and you know, different to some degree, the different age groups, which to me is even more of a challenge due to what in a lot of cases would be different values also. But your team seems to be very focused. You, whenever you see a young man, they're always together, and you know, there's more of a family than a squad. Ronnie, you also have another gentleman. He's going to be defending his title, Jamal Charlo. He's going to be on fighting in Dallas on NBC on the 26th. So, I mean, you know, this is going to be a busy week for you. Talk to us a little bit about Mr. Charlo and his preparations.
Oh, absolutely, man. Well, you know, first, yeah, I'm taking him with me to Miami, and so we can finish up training. And, you know, Lara fights to win. Lara and my heavyweight, John Wesley, no father. Those two guys fight on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we fly, which is Thanksgiving, we fly to Dallas. And we got three guys in Dallas, Jamal Charlo, Ryan Cowboy Carr, and Steve Levitt. Those three guys fighting on Saturday in Dallas on NBC. So, yeah, you know, I mean, the thing about it is, you know, we have to stay in condition. We have to keep everything working, man. And, you know, we can't change anything. Camp has been really great. You know, Jamal is in great shape. And, you know, a lot of people say, why did he turn around so fast and defending the title? Well, that's what champions do. Champions don't sit on a belt. You know, that's not business. You know, you don't do business by calling yourself a champion and not fighting, you know? I mean, look at so many guys who have got stripped of the title because they weren't defending their title. Look at Demetrius Andrade. Look at, you know, Guillermo Rigondeaux. Those two guys that have fought in so long, and they got stripped of their titles. You know, what's the sense of calling yourself a champion? A champion fights. That's what he does. And Jamal wants to prove that, you know, it's no fluke that he won the world title, and he wants to defend it.
Yes, and Jamal's the type of fighter, you know, he's another fan-friendly fighter. We're always glad to see him in the ring. Ronnie, you told us a little bit about Errez Landy's opponent. Can you tell us a little bit about Jamal's opponent, Mr. Wilkie Camford?
Yeah, they call him Wilkie Camford. You know, this kid, he's been around a while. You know, he's a good fighter. He's one of these guys that, you know, you have to always pay attention to, because, you know, this kid is a fighter. He comes to fight. And, you know, he has a great record, one loss, but that was like his second fight he lost. So, you know, he's like, I think he's 21-1. And, you know, he got 7 knockouts in his last 10 fights. So that lets you know that the kid, he got some pop in his punches, and, you know, and he wants to try to take Jamal's title. So what we're going to, you know, what we've been doing and what we're going to always do is train hard and, you know, and just continue to do what we're doing as win.
Yeah, and we would expect nothing less from your camp. Ronnie, also on Saturday, we see Klitschko and Tyson Fury. Ronnie, what are you thinking about this fight, especially when Klitschko is fighting someone that's at least his size?
Well, you know, size doesn't matter. You know, it's all about the skill. It's all about the skill that, you know, that a fighter possesses. You know, sure, he's a big guy, but, you know, that doesn't mean anything. Klitschko is a big guy, too. So it's all about skill when you get inside of that ring. And, you know, Klitschko, you know, he's been there, he's done that, he's seen it all. So Tyson Fury isn't going to show him something that he's never seen before. So I'm expecting a good fight early on, but I think Klitschko is going to knock him out.
Ronnie, are we being a little too soft on our heavyweights, meaning that we are we giving them the proper competition for them to compete with guys like Klitschko and Fury? being, you know, and I'm speaking of, you know, the Deontay Wilders and whatnot.
Well, I think you have to understand that Deontay is, you know, he's young as far as boxing is concerned. Yeah, he's champion of the world, but, you know, he's still not an A fighter yet. You know, he's, you know, I would say he's a B fighter, but he's learning on the job. And in the meantime, he won the heavyweight championship of the world. So that lets you know that he's going in the right direction. And, you know, it takes fights. It takes fighting different styles in order for you to, you know, to learn everything you need to know about that ring. And I think for Deontay, what he's doing, that's what he's doing. He's learning on the job. You can't ask for anything better than that, you know, than learning on the job, fighting different styles. And still, you know what? He's still champion of the world, and he has all knockouts except for one. So I think you have to give it up to him, because he you know, he is champion, and he's doing the things that he's supposed to do in order to continue to get better.
A possible matchup that's being talked about, you know, maybe it's just rumor, but is Deontay and the young up and coming Sir Anthony Joshua. Ronnie, what would you think about that fight?
Well, you know, I don't know much about Anthony Joshua, you know, just from what I read and everything. But look, you know, as champion of the world, you know, you have to fight everybody. You know, that's what a champion does. You know, he fights people that, you know, people think he can't beat, but he fights all challengers, and that's what it's all about. That's what everybody wants to be champion. And, you know, a lot of people get in this game and being here for years and don't even get an opportunity to fight for a world championship. But I think anytime you do, it's a blessing. And for those, you know, who do get an opportunity, then you have to make the best of it. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But as far as, you know, Deontay, you know, fighting Anthony Joshua, I think, hey, you know, if the deal can be worked out, it's just another, you know, another body in front of him that he has to get rid of.
Very, very well put. Ronnie, a young man that we both talked about, a young man that we both think is the future of boxing, he's going to be on the undercard of the Jamal Charlo fight, Mr. Errol Spence. He is going to be fighting a 12-rounder. Ronnie, how long do you think before we start talking about this young man on a championship level?
Well, people are already talking about Errol. Errol is, you know, he's probably one or two fights away from a world title, you know, from a world title fight. You know, he's a very, very good fighter. And, you know, I think he's proven that every time he steps in the ring now. You know, he's proven, hey, you know, you guys at the top better start looking at me because, you know, I'm coming. And rightfully so, you know, because Errol, you know, he had a great amateur background, and, you know, and his professional background is really, really getting good. So I think that the welterweights better watch out because, you know, this guy is coming, and he's like a train on the track, you know. He's knocking everybody out of the way. You know, I think on Saturday, on the 28th, he wants to make another statement to let all the welterweights know that he's coming.
Yeah, a remarkable young man in and out of the ring. You have to like his demeanor, the way he carries himself. But this is a really big night. I mean, as far as fights are concerned, as far as ranked men are concerned, we also have James DeGaulle. He's going to be fighting Lucien Boutte. Super middleweight division for DeGaulle's IBF title. Ronnie, is this a possible many opponents for Triple G?
Well, I mean, you know, it's always a possibility that the call will be a good possibility. But the thing about it is that I think right now, the only thing that's on Triple G's mind right now is unifying all of the belts at 160. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be the undisputed middleweight champion of the world. And I think until that's done, I don't think he's looking to move up or fight anybody else that's not a middleweight.
But doesn't that kind of limit him as far as opponents? I mean, you know, at 160, who else would be a viable opponent for him right now, Ronnie?
Well, you know, here's the thing. The thing about it is right now, as per the WBC rules, is Canelo has 15 days to start negotiations to fight Triple G. Otherwise, he's going to be stripped of the title, and Triple G is going to be named the undisputed middleweight champion of the world. So, unless they get an extension, which they probably will, give him an extension, unless something can be worked out, you know, between these both camps, you know, I really and truly don't believe that Canelo don't want no part of Triple G. Now, if Triple G, you know, decides, well, okay, I'm gonna go ahead on and fight this kid at a catch rate, then he probably won't fight again until May. You know, because that's when Canelo is claiming he's fighting again. So, you know, again, unless they pay Triple G a lot of money to step aside again, and, you know, then it's nothing that we're not going to know anything until the WBC come out and make a statement.
Speaking of in the middleweight division, December 5th, now we have Danny Jacobs and Peter Cullen. Peter has spoken on fighting Triple G. I'm not, you know, really sure whether that's something he'd want to do right now, but he has spoken about it, and also Danny Jacobs. Ronnie, let's talk about their fight first. What do you think about this matchup between Danny Jacobs and Peter Cullen?
Well, you know, I really and truly like this fight. I think this is going to be a very exciting fight. And although Peter Cullen is not originally from Brooklyn, he's been living there for a while now. So he called himself a Brooklynite. And, you know, we all know Danny Jacobs is born and raised in Brooklyn. So I think pride is going to play a big, big part in this fight. And this is why this is going to be such a good fight. You know, both guys have the capabilities to knock the other one out. And, you know, and it's going to be hard to pick a winner in this fight because you just don't know the pressure that these guys are going to be under. You just don't know, you know, how they're going to handle that. Plus the fact, you know, these guys, I mean, they're going to get in there and try to kill each other too because they want to have the bragging rights. And this is why I think this is going to be such a good fight. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of toe-to-toe action in this thing. Neither guy really sits on the outside a whole lot to box. So both guys want to get rid of their opponents. And so I think at the beginning it's going to be a tactical fight just to see what the other one has. And then after about 3 or 4 rounds, I think you're going to see both guys go right at it.
Ronnie, do you see Peter making the weight this time?
Absolutely, I see him making the weight. You know, the fight means a lot. You know, this is not just for a virgin of the WBA title. This is more than that. This is for the bragging rights of Brooklyn. And I think it's bigger than the world title in these two guys' eyes. You know, this is bigger than the world title. And I think you're going to see that kind of fight.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be on Showtime, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. Ronnie Chris Algieri gets back in the ring. He's going to be fighting Eric Bone. Ronnie, has Chris made himself, I don't want to say a legitimate contender, but what did you know, his fight with Pacquiao show you?
Well, I mean, you just showed his fight with Pacquiao just really didn't show me a whole lot, you know, but his fight with Provodnikov taught me a lot, you know, and look, I mean, he's a fighter. He's a contender, and he deserves to be where he is. So, I think that, you know, he's going to be there for a while.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of surprising, you know, now you hear a lot about, you know, Chris's looks and whatnot, you know, and the model. It's kind of funny how, you know, you can be adapted by the public once you have a good fight. Ronnie, December 11th, Nonito Donaire back in the ring, True TV. Your thoughts on Donaire?
Well, I've always thought he was a good fighter. And, you know, I thought he caught a couple of bad breaks, especially when he fought Guillermo Rigondo and when he fought Nicholas Walters. So, you know, his thing is he has to come back and he has to get back to doing the things that got him to where he was champion. And hopefully he's done that. And I think it's just going to be a wait and see thing. You know, we have to wait and see what's really going to happen.
Ronnie, you mentioned your guys, Steve Lovett and Cowboy Carl, and their upcoming bouts. You want to tell us a little bit about their opponents?
Well, as far as Steve Lovett is right now, we just had an opponent fall out, so they're looking for an opponent for Steve Lovett. But Ryan Carr has an opponent, and, you know, both guys are going to be swing bouts, so there's a possibility that I can get on television. And, you know, Cowboy had a really exciting fight, his last fight, and hopefully he can get back on and, you know, be ready for the opponent.
Some of your other guys, Pee Wee Cruz and some of the other gentlemen, are they going to be back in the squared circle soon also?
Absolutely. Brian Pee Wee Cruz is going to be fighting on Showtime, on Showbox, on December 11th, along with my middleweight, Steve Woodall. They both will be featured on Showbox to New Generation from Houston on December 11th.
Oh, that sounds really good. Ronnie, talk to us a little bit about Pee Wee, because Pee Wee's been put in, some very tight situations, but he's managed to always come out on the other side. Ronnie, this kid has a lot of heart and determination. Speak to us about this young man and your plans for him.
Well, you know, the thing about Pee Wee Cruz, I got two fights with him now. I got two fights with Pee Wee now, and this will be the third fight. And, you know, of course, he's from New York, and he's one of these kids, man, that, you know, he has so much determination. You know, this kid, he wants to learn. He wants to be, you know, he wants to be champion of the world, you know. And, you know, he had a few amateur fights, but, you know, he's limited with his amateur experience, but at the same time, his heart, man, is just so big. And, you know, I love working with him. He wants to learn, and, you know, he's going to give you everything he has. And that's what I love about this kid. And, you know, we're looking forward. He has a really tough fight against a kid from New York, matter of fact. And the kid is undefeated that he's fighting. And this kid's name is Will Ferrier from New York. And this kid is 10-0. So, you know, we realize we're going in with a guy who don't know how to lose. And so we have to teach him how to lose. And we have to get in there and do the things that we do best.
Yeah, he seems to have taken to your program, you know, just like a fish to water. And, you know, we're looking for some great things from this young kid. Ronnie, San Antonio, Texas, December 12th, Omar Figueroa back in the ring. Ronnie, how much should we expect from Omar?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the thing about it is, I know he went back to Joel Diaz. So I think because of that, you know, I think we got to expect something really good. You know, I think Joel Diaz is one of the best trainers in the world. And I think he really, really did a good job with Omar. And I think that he's getting Omar back to where Omar was before he left him. And I'm glad Omar, you know, went back to him because, you know, because Joel did a great job with him. And so, you know, I really think I think we're going to really see Omar back to where he was when he first won his first world title.
On the same card, Chris Arreola. Ronnie, at this point, I'm kind of torn here on Chris. What's his motivation? I mean, you know, I don't really know what to make of it, except, I mean, is it a case of, you know, maybe like you know, even though he's never attained the level, but, you know, is it a case kind of like, you know, Roy Jones and Antonio Tarver, where this is all they know, so there's nowhere else for him to go?
Talking about Omar?
No, I'm talking about Chris Arreola.
Oh, Chris Arreola. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, I mean, the thing about Chris Arreola is, you know, he I don't know, man. He's stuck between a rock and a hard place right now because, you know, if he loses to a guy like Travis Kaufman, who's training at Plex, you know, I'm not training him, but, you know, his father and brother Nasim are training him here in Houston. But he loses to a guy like Travis Kaufman, then, you know, his career is going to take a big dive, a downward spiral. But if he wins, then, of course, it's going to, you know, he can have a resurgence in his career. I think his last fight, when he had to draw, you know, I don't know what it was, but, you know, he just didn't look like Chris Arreola. I think he has to, you know, he's trying to get himself back together. And if he can't, then, you know, then maybe he's going to hang the gloves up because, you know, it's not good to stay around too long in this sport because you can really get hurt in this sport.
Yeah, those are kind of my sentiments there, exactly, especially heavyweights. Nothing to play around with there. But, you know, kind of moving on with the December card here, staying with the heavyweights. December 19th, Luis Ortiz, Brian Jennings. Your thoughts on that particular matchup?
That's a great fight. That's a really, really good fight. I think, you know, with Brian Jennings, you know, he's such a surprising guy. You know, he's no big puncher, but he is just a good fighter. And I think when you look at him, you know, like when you fought Klitschko, everybody just thought Klitschko was just going to run over this kid, run over Brian, and that was going to be it. But he showed him that he had skills. And I just proved to you that it don't matter how big you are, you know, it's about the skill set that you have. And I think when people look at it, it's the same thing in this fight. Ortiz is going to be the bigger guy. He's the southpaw. He's the stronger guy. But, you know, what does Brian Jennings bring to the table? He brings a lot of experience as far as him being in the pro ranks. And, you know, he brings a lot of heart. And so, you know, a lot of people probably are going to pick Ortiz to win this fight. But I don't know, man. I won't count Brian Jennings out.
Yeah, it's... You can't count him out, but like you said, you know, I mean, it should be a very entertaining fight. Trying to pick another good fight out of here, and I was looking at the Joshua Claudy fight. Ronnie, it's been a while since Claudy's, you know, put on a spectacular performance. What do you think about Joshua Claudy this upcoming bout of his?
Well, you know, I think it's going to be a good fight between him and Gabe Rosado. That's a crossroads fight, you know, because, you know, Gabe Rosado, you know, he's been on losing end for a couple fights, you know, and I know Claudy, you know, he went to Australia and he knocked out Modine. And I thought he was going to really stay busy after that, but he didn't. And so he just going to be his first fight again in maybe a year. But this is a crossroads fight. I think the winner pushes on, the loser probably have to call it quits.
Ronnie, you know, we've seen Gabe be, you know, pretty successful in that BBK. Has this possibly hurt his value in the ring? I mean, you know, I mean, we know his style, but has the BBK kind of, is that more suitable to his style than being back in a regular boxing ring?
Yeah, I think the BKB, you know, it suits him because, you know, there's really nowhere to go inside of that pit, you know. And, you know, and with, you know, with the style that Gabe has, that's perfect, you know. And, but, you know, it all just comes down, I think, to just, you know, he's been in a lot of wars. And so I don't know what he has left, to tell you the truth, you know. But I think BKB right now would probably suit him a lot better. You know, if he was to fight, you know, Claudy in the BKB, I think there's no question that he probably would win the fight. But in the boxing ring, it's so different. You know, it's just so different in a boxing ring.
Yeah, you know, Ronnie, is it a good mix? I mean, is the training similar enough to where, you know, that you don't lose? I don't know exactly that you don't lose your sense of the game. I realize it's not like going from boxing to. You know, MMA, but is there a big transition there between boxing and BBK?
Yeah, it is a big transition because, again, you know, in the BKB, you don't have a whole lot of room to move around. You know, you're in this pit, and there's nowhere to go. You know, you have to fight. And, you know, if that's your style, you know, BKB is suitable to a style like a Gabe Rosado, a style like a Mike Tyson, you know, those type of styles. that's what BKB is all about. You know, you can't move around in there and box like you would in a regular boxing ring. So, you know, you have to fight. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if you don't, you get knocked out.
So it's actually more of a gladiatorial style.
Absolutely.
Lost the connection here. I had to get back on. But Ronnie, why don't you give us your final thoughts for the evening, my man? Tell us anything that you might have coming up in Plex. Any thoughts that you might have before we leave you this evening?
Well, you know, we on Wednesday, November 25th, we're going to be in Miami, Florida, with Everson De Lara, live on ESPN, regular ESPN. And so that's going to be a great fight that we're looking forward to. And then turn around on Saturday, November 28th, we're going to have Jamal Charlo defending his world junior middleweight title for the first time against Silky Wilkie Camford, and that's in Dallas, Texas on NBC. So tune in.
Well, as always, my man, we thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. So, hey, thanks so much, Ronnie, and you have a great night, my man.
You too, man. Take care.
Well, everyone, we'd like to thank everyone for listening tonight. Sorry, Mr. Scully, but we did get to hear from Mr. David Biddings. So with that, hey, we look forward to having you next week. We will not be having a program this week celebrating Thanksgiving. We will see you again next Sunday on the Weekend Wrap. So have a great night, everyone. And we'll see you next week.